Good evening, everyone. It's time for Bedtime Stories with Thompson. This show, we're reading The Adventures of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe, and this is Chapter 13, Robinson Puts Down a Mutiny. "I think I have an idea," said the captain. "Surely more of the crew will come ashore in search of their shipmates. We can trap them first, then take the ship later." At that moment, the ship's guns fired and signal flags were raised on her mast. They were ordering the longboat to return to the ship. The guns fired again and again, but no boat stirred. At last, another boat was lowered. Through his spyglass, Robinson saw 10 sailors armed with muskets rowing towards shore. As they came closer, the captain recognized the men on board. "Of the 10," he said, "3 are very honest fellows. I am sure they were forced to join the mutiny. But the officer in charge and the rest of them are ugly, desperate men." Robinson smiled confidently. "Sir," he said, "we are 5 men, plus 2 of the prisoners in the cave whom you trust. That adds up to 7. Surely we can deal with those 10, especially if we can count on the 3 who you say are honest men." The captain agreed, so Robinson sent Friday into the cave to free the 2 prisoners. Once everyone was armed, Robinson led his army of 5 back down to the woods. The boat had landed, and its crew was on shore. They were shouting with all their might, trying to locate their lost shipmates. They fired several shots, but received no answer. Finally, 7 of the sailors headed up into the hills on their search, leaving 3 men to guard the boat. Now a new problem faced Robinson. If he captured the 7 men on shore, the other 3 would surely flee back to their ship. Then the captain would never recover his ship, and Robinson's hopes for escape would be doomed. Robinson thought a while, and then the answer came to him. He would separate the sailors on the island, bring the 3 guards on shore, and capture their boat. He told Friday and 2 of the men to spread out in different directions on the island. When they reached a hill where their voices would carry, they were to call "hello" as loud as they could. When the sailors answered, they were to call again and move further inland, heading towards the creek. The sailors would surely follow the voices, thinking it was their shipmates calling. Friday and his men spread out and soon had the sailors a mile from shore near the creek. Since the tide was high, the sailors couldn't get across, so they called to the guards to bring the boat around. The 3 guards brought the boat into the creek and rowed their men across. 2 of the guards remained behind with the boat, while the third joined in the search. This was exactly what Robinson had hoped for. As soon as the sailors were out of sight, Robinson and his men attacked the 2 surprised guards. Seeing themselves outnumbered, they gave up immediately. The captain identified the guards as 2 of the honest men he had spoken of earlier. These men were happy to rejoin their captain and fight for him against the mutineers. Friday and his men returned soon afterwards and reported their mission a complete success. They had led the sailors so far into the woods and had left them there so lost and so exhausted that the sailors could not possibly return to the creek before dark. And darkness was all that Robinson needed to make his plan a success. By nightfall, 8 weary and complaining sailors trudged back to the shore of the creek. The boat was there, but their 2 guards were missing. The sailors ran in different directions, calling to their 2 missing shipmates. They were puzzled about this second disappearance. Robinson and his men watched the sailors run from their hiding places in the woods. When the leader of the mutiny approached the large rock where the captain was hiding, the captain jumped up and fired. The villainous mutineer fell dead on the spot. Robinson regrouped his army, and they surrounded the rest of the sailors in the dark. Robinson ordered one of his men to call to the sailors and try to talk them into surrendering. "Tom Smith! Tom Smith!" called the man. Smith answered immediately. "Is that you, Williams?" "Aye, aye! For God's sake, Smith, throw down your arms and surrender this minute, or you will all be dead men." "Who must we surrender to?" called Smith. "And where are they?" "Our captain is here with 50 men," said Williams. "We have been hunting you for 2 hours, and we have you surrounded. Your leader has been killed, and I am a prisoner." "Will they spare our lives if we surrender?" asked Smith. The captain answered him. "Smith, you know my voice. If you lay down your arms immediately and surrender, your lives will be spared. That is, all except Will Atkins. For him, there is no mercy." Upon hearing this, Will Atkins cried out, "For God's sake, Captain, spare me too! What have I done that all these others have not done?" "It was you who attacked me when the mutiny began, Atkins," said the captain. "I will have no mercy at all on you. Your only hope is that perhaps the governor of this island will have mercy and spare your life." Robinson chuckled softly behind a tree. "Yes, I guess I am the governor of the island," he whispered to himself. But there was no time for enjoying his new title now. The sailors had laid down their arms, so Robinson sent three of his men to tie them up. Since Robinson did not want his prisoners to know that he really didn't have an army of 50 men, he called to his army to stay hidden. Then he ordered the captain and his men to lead the prisoners back to the cave. Robinson kept himself hidden, too. It would not be wise for the prisoners to see a governor dressed in a goatskin cap and goatskin pants. Let them think what they will about this mysterious governor, thought Robinson. They will have time enough to see me when I decide their fate. Once in the cave, the prisoners told the captain how sorry they were for the mutiny and begged him again to spare their lives. "You are not my prisoners," explained the captain coldly. "You belong to the governor of this island, who is an Englishman. The governor is the only one who can decide whether to hang you here or send you back to England to be tried and hanged there." "But couldn't you speak to the governor for us?" begged one of the prisoners. "I shall try," said the captain, "but the governor has already ordered that Will Atkins be hanged at daybreak." Even though the captain had made up this entire story, it had the effect he had hoped for. Atkins fell to his knees and pleaded for his life. The others begged not to be sent back to England, for they knew very well that hanging was the only punishment given any man who took part in a mutiny. "The decision can only be made by His Excellency the Governor," said the captain. "Right now he sits in his castle on the other side of the island deciding your fate." But His Excellency the Governor was standing outside the cave in the darkness, milking his goats. End of chapter 13.
Coming up next, chapter 14. Robinson seizes the ship.
Good night.
Good night.